Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your day, of your Friday. And thank you for joining us. No, actually, it is Thursday when this is being recorded. You're listening to a sermon I just preached last week. We're right in the middle of this. This is called Priority Mail. And we're in this short series from time to time. It might not play all the way through, where we're going to examine these seven letters that the Lord Jesus dictated to the Apostle John to hand deliver to the pastor or messenger, angelos, of these seven churches. And I'm not going in any order. And this is the first one in this series. It's a letter that's going to the pastor of the church at Thyatira. And he's going to start by telling them the things they're doing good, the things he commends them for. And then he's going to let them have it for the things that they're doing bad. And boy, does he let them have it. We're going to hear some of that here right now. This weekend, I invite you out to Island Community Church, Sunday morning, 10:30. My sermon this week is, so you're an agnostic, huh? Love to see you Sunday morning, 10:30. Here is part two now of this message, Priority Mail.
I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. Boy, isn't that the truth? You can just see that one on CNN, huh? First Baptist Church of Schenectady had 687 people dead today who wouldn't stop going to Henrietta's Bible study class. And you say, oh, that could never happen. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. And I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Actually, the Greek word here for minds is the word for guts. And the Greek word for intestines. Like that old saying, you know, I had a gut feeling about this. Jesus is even going to search out your guts. Look what it says. You know, some people claim to be mind readers. Jesus is not only a mind reader, he's a gut reader. And he's a heart reader. Jesus can read your guts. I had a gut feeling. He can know and search your guts. And he can tell whether or not you had a gut feeling about this. Why are you putting up with? He even knows if you had a gut feeling about something. That's how deeply he can search and penetrate your minds and thoughts, minds and hearts, guts. He wants to know whether or not you knew all along this woman was evil and you just stood by and did nothing about it. Or if there was nothing in your guts except pastrami. And this falls here on the pastor and the leaders of the church. Now here this morning is a valuable lesson for us regarding sickness and death and where it comes from. Once again, we see that not all sickness and not all death, for Satan cannot kill anyone, okay? But not all sickness and not all death comes from the devil. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 27. And yes, we're almost done. This is the text we read for communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. He's talking about whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves first before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That's why we take a couple of minutes before we take communion. Darren comes up here and plays. And I give everyone a couple minutes of quiet time to make things right with God before we take communion. It's because of this threat right here in this verse. That those that approach God must regard him as holy. Let everyone, verse 28, everyone ought to examine themselves before they take this communion or eat this bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the Lord's, the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is why, that is, taking communion flippantly without realizing what you're doing here. It's not Hawaiian punch and Twinkies. There's more to this here than what meets the eye. This is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have died. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Ain't that the truth? Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. Okay, let's move on. Now let's uncover one more thing this morning. Back to where we were, Revelation chapter 2, verse 24. Again, it's on the handout. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will impose on you no other burden. So I've been praying about this over the weekend, what that means. What are Satan's so-called deep secrets? What are these things that he knows and holds dear to himself, this stinking devil? What does he know about you that we don't know? What are his secrets? And praise God, he actually showed me what two of these things are, and I'm going to share them with you here this morning. These are two secrets the devil knows about you, and they're guaranteed ironclad. Work every time if you don't do something to change it. Okay? Number one. What's the first Satan's so-called deep secret? Number one, he can get to you through your flesh. He can get to you through your flesh. Remember, we are a three-part being. What makes us up? We're soul, when we believe in Jesus Christ, soul, spirit, and body. Our spirit is one with the Lord. Our spirit is what's born again. And when we believe and receive Jesus Christ, it's our spirit that's born again, not this. This is corrupt. Paul said long after he was saved, I know that in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Sin has a 99-year lease in your body. It's not going away. My flesh and the devil himself are on a first-name basis. They're best friends. Everyone hear me? My flesh and the devil himself are on first-name basis. They love each other. They're pals. And they always will be. This is the great thing, is when you become a Christian, you think that goes away, and it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. Your flesh is corrupt. This is why Jesus says, this is God looks down from heaven to see if there are any who do good, and he can't find one. He says, your righteousness is like a filthy rag in his sight. Our flesh is not born again. It's what leaves you when you die is what's born again. The part that leaves you when you're just a shell down here on the ground. It's the part that leaves you is what's born again. Because what leaves you is united with the Holy Spirit, and you're one. And no devil can touch that or separate that. That's good news. And get this, no sin can separate that. Sin can't separate your relationship with God. You're one with him. But, you see, Satan has got the combination to your box. And we all have the same combination. And it works every time. His deep secrets is he has the combination to your box. That's how this plan worked. How do you think this woman got into a church and told them they could have sex with whoever they wanted? And they go, same as Abraham. Ooh, sounds like the will of God to me. Because he's got the combination. He knows how to get to you. And he gets to you through your flesh. Through whatever it is that when you are born again, if you used to be a dot, 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 the desire for that doesn't go away. But you have to overcome it. And you overcome it with your soul, with what you feed your soul. That's how you win this fight. Remember, Paul said, may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It's what you put into your soul is how you win this fight. Your soul is your mind, your heart, your will, your emotions. What you feed that is how you win this fight. And you and I, we need to make this two against one. You feed your soul by what you put into it. Reading the Word of God. Right? How does that verse go? I think it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let me read that. I hear Pastor reciting it over there. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the secret is this book is lit, it's alive. The Word of God, Hebrews 4:12, says the Word of God is living and active like yeast, sharper than any two-edged sword. And something happens. You can't see it. But something happens when you read this. Whether it's to a demon haunting you at 3 o'clock in the morning that wants your child, or whether or not you're struggling with something. There's power in the Word of God. Okay, number two on this list. The second of Satan's deep secrets. You are weak. Right, Bill? You're weak. It's the same combination over all of us. You are a frail person. I don't care how many miles you run. I don't care how many chapters you read. I don't care how well you know God or how well you don't know God or how much weight you can lift in the weight room, how many laps you can swim. You are weak. You're weak. Praise God, though, we've got a solution for this problem. If you'd like to turn there, if not, I'm going to read it to you. But please write down the solution, because you're going to use the solution every blessed day of your life if you want the victory. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians. See, Paul wrote this. Paul had a demon and it wouldn't go away. And he pleaded and pleaded and pleaded and pleaded and pleaded with God to take it away. And he said, no, I'm not doing it. This demon is going to stay with you. And it's going to bring you down to your knees so that you will learn how you're going to get through this struggle in your life. So that's the backdrop to what I'm going to read. Verse 8, Paul says concerning this thing, that is this demon that's tormenting him that won't go away, even the apostles of Christ, the demon, it just won't go away. What do you do when the demon won't go away? There's a solution to that. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with God three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Now listen to this. My strength or power is made perfect in weakness. Those were in red letters. Now Paul goes on, having learned this truth, Paul goes on with the word therefore. That is therefore, since this demon ain't going away, since I apparently don't have the power to get rid of him, I plead with God to get rid of this demon that won't stop tormenting me. Jesus, I pray, Jesus actually answered me. I've gone 60 years, I've never heard a voice. Here, he hears him, no problem. Finally, after all this time, you heard a voice of God, what does he say? No. You're not going away. My strength, my grace is sufficient for you. What's grace? I remember growing up in New Jersey, it was boring cats and dogs when I was a kid. And they said, there will be a 10-minute grace period. Grace is getting something that you don't deserve. By someone bigger and better than you, gives you something that you haven't earned. You don't deserve it. But because the person is good and benevolent and loving and kind, he gives you something that was a gift. It's grace. We're even saved by that. It says in Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved. That is, God saved you when you didn't earn it, when you didn't deserve it. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. You can't get baptized for it. You can't put money in the offering plate for it. God does it because he felt like it and because he loves you. Thank you. That's good news. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Then he says, not of works, lest anyone should boast about it. And that's what he says he gave him here to overcome the demon that won't go away. He says, my grace is all that you need. That means that God loves you and he's got your back and you don't need to worry about this. All you need to do is call upon the Lord and say, God, I'm weak. I can't do this without you. I can't do this without you. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul's turn to speak. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities. You know what I wrote in my Bible after that? I'm sicker than you are. I'm sicker than you are. He's boasting in his infirmities. He's boasting that he's proud over how sick he is. Boy, that won't go over too well in the charismatic churches around this town. I'm boasting in how sick I am. Because I will boast in my infirmities so that, see, there's a reason for it. It's not willingness. There's a reason for it. So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, when you're weak and you admit that you can't do this on your own, you receive grace to do it. Something you haven't earned, something you can't buy. You can't buy it on the internet. I can't give it to you. Only he can give it to you. So he learns all this, then he says this. Therefore, all right, therefore, to everything we've just learned, therefore, this is his new mindset. Therefore, I take pleasure in, listen to the things that bring this man joy now after he's learned what he's learned. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Jesus' sake. Then he says the sentence for the ages, church. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Those are the two things here. That is the secret things of Satan, is that he's got your number. There's only one way to get to you, and that is through your flesh. And it works every time. And the way to combat that is through the grace of God. To pray, admit, to tell him that you're weak and you need help. And the Bible says, Paul says here, when I am weak, then I am strong. You are at your strongest point. I wrote here this morning. His, that's the devil's, greatest weapon is our greatest strength. Satan's greatest weapon, your weakness, your frailty, is your greatest strength. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. All else to me save that thou art, thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Riches I empty praise, thou mine inheritance now and always, thou and thou only, first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure. Thou art. son. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Be my vision, O ruler of
all. There's nothing like the warmth of a summer afternoon. Waking to the sunlight and being cradled by the moon. Catching fireflies at night, building castles in the sand. Kissing mama's face goodnight and holding dead. Thank you, Lord. How could I ask for more? Running barefoot through the grass, a little hide and go seek, and being so in love that you can hardly. Dancing in the dark when there's no one else around, being bundled neath the covers, watching snow fall to the ground. Thank you, Lord. How could I ask for more? So many. Some dreams that are realities today. Such an irony, the things that mean the most to me are the memories that I've made along the way. If there's anything I've learned from this journey we're on, simple truth will keep you going, and simple love will keep you strong. 'Cause there are questions without answers, and flames that never die, and heartaches we go through are often. How could I?